There seems to be a deficit of conversations around the whys of living away from the convenience of town, spending precious time on trying to grow your own food when you can just buy it in the shops, and if choosing this lifestyle really is making a difference on our characters and that of our families. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We are passionate about and love having conversations on what impact truly experiencing country living, true education, and agriculture can have on our lives. We hope and pray that by us sharing these conversations with people from all different backgrounds and experiences, that you can feel equipped from the practical advice and inspired by the stories to continue or pick up where you left off.
Welcome, Rod and Justin. Glad we could come together again and continue this discussion. Last time we were talking about the motivations to move to the country and the why and those sort of things. And we talked about that. And today we want to talk a little bit about decision-making and a little bit about how we work through that and process that. And I think the theme for today sort of came out of a statement that I bumped onto. And it was, you've made your bed, now lie in it. The idea of, you've chosen where to lay your bed. You've chosen where to go and what to do. And now that you've made that decision, you've got to live with it. Now, I'm sure you can probably relate to that. And we've all made those decisions in every part of our life. But we were going to just talk about that in a country living context, in a, that sort of thing. But before we get there, gents, how's your day been?
Oh, mine's been great, thanks, Ian. And thanks for having us. Good to be here. And Rod's has been just as good as well, since he's not talking.
Mine's probably been sunnier than yours, Justin.
Yes, we had two lovely days of sun in a row, but we're back to rain again and very cold.
Yeah, mine's probably been warmer than yours too, Justin. 21 degrees here today, bright sunny skies. Gentle breeze for about 2 hours and still for the rest. And at one point I was even sweating with one of the tasks that I was doing. So, yeah, fantastic day.
Well, good for you. I was about probably tops of 12 degrees, beanie even in the office at times, a jumper in the office and a second jumper outside. But we don't get the humidity down here like you guys do on the mid-north coast, though.
Yeah, we've both made our beds and now we enjoy lying in them, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. No, really good day, Ian. We've had just over 2 weeks of sunshine and dry weather so far consistently. Oh, we had 3 mils of rain on, when was that, Sunday night? But other than that, it's been dry. So our garden is finally drying out and we are able to prepare beds and get crops in. So it's really exciting, fun time to be actually making progress after a crazy summer of rain.
Yeah, rub it in. I'll be putting my crops in October, November. But I'm hoping for next winter I'll have a hothouse. My wife has been badgering me, or I should say encouraging me, to rebuild. Might have mentioned last time it was the hothouse. It was made out of recycled materials except for the plastic covering, but it did the job. I could still grow things in winter quite well, but the bushfire destroyed that and I haven't rebuilt anything. So that's foremost in my mind now.
Well, we're very much on the same page, mate, because my task this winter not only is to get our crops happening again, but also I've got nearly 3,000 square metres of greenhouse to put up.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been blessed with a bunch of frames, secondhand frames, and, yeah, so big building project over the last, over the next, well, hope to get as many up as possible by, you know, September, October. So if the predicted wet summer comes to fruition, we'll be a little bit insulated from its effects.
Beautiful.
So, gents, are you happy with where your bed is laid in terms of all the things you didn't know about what it would come with and and what you're living with now?
First things foremost, I think you have to be happy within yourself. I don't want to get too philosophical, but you need to be happy within yourself. Your happiness has to come from external things, then I think you're in strife outside of Christ. But yeah, that's just what I'm going to say. Rod, go.
This isn't the first rodeo for either Justin or I. As we talked about last time, we've both, you know, these aren't our first properties. And I know before Justin and Yvette bought their place, they shifted to the, you know, to the down to the area where they are, and they lived there, rented a house while they were continuing to look for land and making decisions. In the same vein, we've lived in this area for, when did we shift here first? 2007. You know, so we've been in our localities for a long time. We've actually lived on the property that Desley and I bought this January for a long time. And so, you know, we've gone into it knowing exactly what we're getting. And that makes a real difference. And but not everyone always has that opportunity to get to know a place really well, especially over the last couple of years when, you know, many people have bought land not exactly on a whim, but under pressure that there's going to be another purchaser, you know, breathing down their necks to sign the contract. So, yeah, so that's a long way to answer. Yes, I am happy. Western Australia will always be my home. I still feel like a stranger here in many ways because nature is so different here. And but yeah, I definitely I'm happy to be here. And the main reason I'm happy to be here is because my wife's happy to be here. And when mama ain't happy, nobody ain't happy. So that works for us.
Yes, yeah, that's it. So there, and that was a unique, as you said, a unique experience to be able to actually live there for a period of quite a long time, and actually you already knew what you were buying. You already knew what you were getting into without any surprise in that aspect. Let's take a step back and to what you were saying, as many were purchasing or attempting to purchase in a rush or under pressure. Yeah. So what pressures and what's so hard about making this decision, about deciding where we want to go, where we want to live, what we want to do? What are the things that are making that decision difficult?
I think from talking to people, I still have friends in the city who keep talking about moving to the country and they still haven't done it. If everything that's gone on, they know they need, but they still haven't. I'm actually fearful that people are fearful of making a mistake.
Yeah.
And so they're inactive. Rod mentioned earlier that we both lived on numerous country properties. I'm also fearful that some people who live in the city think they have to find the perfect property. The perfect property does not exist. Secondly, I think they're fearful that they have to make the absolute right decision because this is their final move. Why does it have to be the final move? Jesus hasn't come yet. You can move again. So I think the first mistake is being scared of making a mistake.
Okay, I concur with that. And it's, I understand it though, as in if it's something new to someone, they have every right to distrust themselves and their capacity to make wise decisions in an area that they have no experience in. You know, that's just healthy.
Yeah, healthy. Yeah,
it's an understandable response. But the challenge is that can also be what's the word? It can be immobilizing, or it can cause a person to freeze and not take the next steps towards resolving, you know, as Justin said, many people know they need to do it, but they're fearful of it. Maybe people don't have a plan. Maybe they don't know how to make a plan to prosecute this sort of change in their lives.
You can only plan something that you understand. How can I plan to go to the moon if I don't know the steps involved to getting there? Like, it's thoroughly foreign to me. So it doesn't, because we all say, yeah, we've got to set a goal. We've got to set a plan when we move into the country. But how can I do that if there's so much unknown?
Yeah, I understand that, but that's an emotional response and an understandable one, but it's not truly informed as Christians. You know, the Bible's clear that perfect love casts out all fear. And so if we are fearful about making a move that we know God is calling us to, then our challenge is maybe a challenge of faith. What do you think about that, Justin?
Can I just cut in? Yeah. So with faith comes prayer, and so we always say, I need to pray about it. Personally, I find it hard to hear the voice of God, and what's worked for me and my wife is to ask the prayer, please, Lord, open and shut doors, and then run with that. If this is the wrong decision, just shut it, shut that door so I can't even make that wrong decision.
So you're asking for providence to work in your lives there and for God to guide you step by step. That sounds like a faith that works to me. Like, you're out, you're looking at properties, you're considering all the factors, you're doing whatever you can with a little bit of wisdom and information and experience that you've got. But you're actively praying at the same time as you're acting, and you're asking God to reveal His will through His providence.
Mm. Yeah. Before we put our house on the market, we worked out, how much can I get for this place? I think I mentioned it last time. What's my mortgage? What have I got left? Because I want to get out of debt. That's the main reason, though, because we were living in the country proper, but I still had debt. I wanted to get out of debt. We didn't have enough water either, a few other things. But mostly we felt need to get out of debt. Now, so we looked at different properties, and we realized, yes, we could afford some. Of course, when we eventually sold, which could have been 4 or 5 months later, some of those properties had gone. I mean, that market wasn't like the market like it is now. But there was one place I really wanted to go. I really wanted to move there. And it'd been on the market for 2.5 years. And it was only a small property, I think maybe 30 acres, that it was bordered by two creeks, can you believe? And it was already ready to walk in. It was only a tiny house. We could have purchased it with plenty of money up our sleeve. It wasn't the perfect property, but it was very well workable for us. And the day I rang the agent, she said someone had taken an offer on it the day before. Now, this place has been like for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I said to her, could I do a counter offer, which is pretty much what you do in the city. Nothing's been signed. Mm. And being a country lady, she said no. Yeah. And that was the Lord shutting doors. And looking back now, so that was 13 years ago, that would have been disaster. Mm. We're just too isolated. The children would have suffered, and I can tell now that it was not suited for us.
Mm. Yeah, so there you go. Mm. God's at work for you, answering your prayer.
Doors closed. Yeah.
Even against your will.
It was, and I was really, and to be frank, I was quite disappointed for a while, for a few weeks, and then we moved on and didn't really see it as an act of God such until a lot, many, many years later, and we thought back and thought, no, it wouldn't have worked there.
I don't know if we've got time. I've got quite a powerful testimony with regards to leaning on God's providence.
Please share on your side. Yeah.
Many years ago, I bought my first country property when I was working up in the Northern Territory and the Kimberleys making silly money for a lad in his early 20s back in the 19... when was that? Late 1980s. And I just knew that I needed to spend this money on property, or I'd spend it on a car or something foolish. So cut a long story short, went down to the Southwest WA where I come from, and my parents and I went and just one Sunday we went and looked at property along the South Coast, and by Sunday night we'd found the place and, you know, I'd put an offer on it and we bought it. Anyway, I paid, I think it was $21,000 for that, and beautiful 80 acres, but that's another story. And then my parents decided to shift in the same area, and we found a place just up the road, 150 acres, and sold my place for 110. Remember, I bought it a couple of years before for 21, sold it for 110. And anyway, we built two houses on that property down on the south coast of WA near Walpole, and still the most favourite place I've lived. But anyway, but then Desley and I had a conversion experience, and we decided that God was calling us to medical missionary work, and specifically to start a health retreat. And so we went looking for properties to build a health retreat on, because we were just too far from Perth. We understood that. It was 4.5 hours drive from Perth, and we felt something needed to be within 3 hours drive. Anyway, it is a long story, but I'll cut it short. We found a place near the regional centre of Manjimup, and had an old farmhouse on it. It was 145 acres, had good water, you know, the whole thing. And yeah, so yeah, we put an offer on it subject to the sale of our property down south. We put our place on the market, and we were selling it both privately and through an agent, and all the people that were interested in being involved in this health retreat, we all had a meeting one Sabbath, and spent all day reading counsel, praying and studying together. And then that night we'd collectively decide how much we were going to put our property on the market for. And so everyone got a piece of paper, and each individual wrote, and we never talked numbers at all. We didn't talk numbers, but every individual, and there were, I can't remember whether there's definitely six, but I think there were eight of us there that night, and we all wrote exactly the same number on the piece of paper. $350,000. So we were right. Okay, that's the price God's going to sell this property for if it's His will that we go to this place near Manjimup. And cut a long story short, we had one person come and look at it, because we took out a 3 month, you know, the offer we put on this new place in Manjimup for the health retreat was I think it was good for 3 months. So during that period of the initial offer, only one person came to look at it. And this was this guy that had an accident in the army, and he was expecting this big payout, and he wanted to buy our place by hook or by crook. Anyway, at the end of the period, I can't remember the reasons why, but we decided to extend the offer for 2 weeks. And during that 2 weeks, we had, I can't remember, there was at least six people that came to look at our place, and they were all looking for a property on the South Coast with two homes. There was always two families involved that were going to go in this property together. And all of them said, we're going to go back to Perth, get our money, we're going to buy this place. But none of them ever did. So we get to the day before the 2 weeks extension of our offer is up. And I talked to the agent that was trying to sell us the property near Manjimup. And he says, so, and he was a Catholic guy. And he said, I guess it's not going to happen. And I said, hey, mate, we've got till 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for God to show His hand. And, you know, I'm happy either way. You know you want to sell this place to us, but I'm happy either way. But we won't know till 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It was a Thursday. And that same day, I got a phone call from one of our neighbours who wanted to list it. Now, we had two neighbours that were real estate agents. One was a hippie neighbour of ours. We'd become pretty close to him, and we'd actually listed it with him, and he was the agent of this guy from the army. But this other guy, he was a bit of a redneck, he wanted to list it as well. And I said, yeah, no worries, Ginger. You can come and have a look around, but I think it's going to be sold by tomorrow afternoon. And he goes, oh, have you got an offer? And I said, no, we don't, but I just think it's going to be sold by tomorrow afternoon. But you can come around anyway if you want. So come around tomorrow afternoon, because he couldn't come before. So about 3 o'clock or so, he comes in his ute, and I jump in and we drive around the property and have a look. And by the time he drops, I just got him to drop him off at the end of our driveway, which is about a K long. And it was about 4:30, 4:20 to 5 sort of thing. And, you know, I'm just walking up the driveway. I can distinctly remember it. Just praying, talking to God and saying, okay, that place in, it seems like, you know, it's 4:45 and that place in Manjimup isn't for us for the health retreat. So thanks for answering. That's cool. We'll keep looking at something else. And then I walk up down the track to where our house was, and I noticed, you know, I'm completely settled in my mind. Okay, we're not going to Manjimup. And I turned the corner to where our house is, and I saw the ute of our hippie real estate neighbour. And he's parked there. And the thing about Manjimup is completely resolved, right? Okay, we're not going to Manjimup. That's fine. And my mind is automatically already going to look for other properties. And so I see Bob's ute there parked next to the house, and I think, oh, that's convenient for Bob. He was a single hippie, and he often turned up at dinner time, you know, because he knew Desley would give him a feed. And I thought, oh, Bob's turned up for dinner. That's cool. And I walked inside, and he's there talking to Desley in the kitchen. And I said, oh, good to have you here, Bob. Yeah, it's about dinner time. And he says, yeah, yeah, yeah. Desley's invited me to stay. And I said, good. And he said, oh, by the way, there's something over on the fridge for you. And so I walked over to our Kero fridge. We didn't have electricity. I walked over to the Kero fridge and had a look on top. There's a piece of paper, and it was a full price cash offer for $350,000. And I looked at my watch, and it was 5 minutes to 5. And I got straight on the phone to the agent in Manjimup. Dave Reese was his name, still sticks. And I called him up, and he says, I said, oh, it's Rod. And he goes, yeah, yeah, okay, you win some, you lose some. That's all right. And I said, no, Dave. And he said, what? And I said, I've got a full price cash offer in my hand. Look at the clock. And he just went silent. And then he said, that's faith.
Yeah.
And then he paused, you know, for 5 or 6 seconds, and he said, that's faith. And he said it 3 times. You know, and if that's not God's providence working in helping people follow God's will, then I don't know what is. And so we bought that place, and, you know, by God's grace, you know, a group of us developed what's called Shalom Health Retreat on that property, and it's still going today.
And that is a journey that you've been on and taken on, and the Lord takes us on that to reach us to that point of decision. And then he just makes the concept of being frozen by fear somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've got to understand that God's our partner in this. You know, he's the one that's calling us to go and live in the country for our benefit, for the benefit of our family, for, you know, because eternity's on the line for us. And if we understand that God's the one that's calling us to do this, then God doesn't ask us arbitrarily to do things, and he doesn't leave us alone once we've decided to follow his will. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to go sweet and dandy, because he knows too that we need difficult and hard times in our lives, but we've just got to learn to trust him that he will lead us. And as Justin said, he will open and close doors if we are looking step by step for his guidance. I haven't thought about that story for years.
I'm glad you shared it.
It gave us such confidence. And we had, maybe one day on this podcast, I'll be able to tell the story of the rezoning of Shalem so that we could do, you know, what God calls to be done on country properties where we have our health retreats. You know, that was just an out-and-out miracle. And we just had so... You know, this saga with the State Planning Commission went on over 12, 14 months. But all the way through it, we just knew that God had a way that this was going to work. Because, you know, some of us might know the quote that says, we have nothing to fear of the future, and I'm paraphrasing here, except we forget how God has led us in the past. And so I really believe that, you know, God wants to reveal himself to us through the practical things of our day-to-day lives and the decisions we make. And this decision we're talking about, moving to the country and taking our families to live the life and the lifestyle that God's designed us to live, it's a big decision. And I'll guarantee you, God's there every step of the way with you.
And by having that leading and resting on it instead of jumping out ahead, when the challenge comes of, say, rezoning, or the challenge comes of an issue, you know that you're there and you were meant to be there. And then you know that there will be something, there will be a solution that has been prepared for this situation.
Just to comment what Rod said, how it's a big decision to move to the country. I disagree in that God's already made the decision for you. You just have to follow. The big decision is where to go, what fits for you and your family, finances, etc. Not actually to get out. We're told to get out. We just have to obey. I don't think that's a big decision. It's just where we go is.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's a big surrender, though. You're right. The decision's been made by God, but sometimes it's hard to surrender.
Sure, very hard at times.
I'd like to come back, though, and link what we've just been talking about is with God being there every step of the way, and link that to what Justin said earlier, that sometimes there are multiple steps we need to take, and that we need to be careful of assuming that where God leads us in the first step is our forever property, our forever home. You know, Sister White talks about moving out of the cities and into the villages, and then from the villages to the country. You know, I'm not saying that's what God's plan is for everyone.
Yeah.
But there could possibly be multiple steps. I know God led Justin and Yvette through multiple steps. He certainly led Desley and I through multiple steps. So just keep that in mind as well.
So I'm seeing something that you guys are starting to say now, and we, in a little bit of the first one might not be the be all and end all. There is an element of a journey. There is an element of learning. And even if I add to what you've already been saying, is mistakes. So that if you're making a change and there is a mistake, there is also a sufficient grace to carry you through whatever steps in that process. Perhaps either of you could probably talk about that a little bit, of making some of these decisions and stepping out. Yes, sure, there was providence, but then what about the mistakes that you make in whilst doing that? Because it's sometimes not clean. You've come in and you've done a mistake, but then how does God use that? How does that become part of your a journey?
The mistakes might have been planned by God. Maybe it's not a mistake as far as he's concerned, but we see it as a mistake. I mean, I've made, because it's character building, you know, like the one mistake you don't want to make is reject Christ. Everything else is pretty, like, as far as eternity is concerned, is insignificant. And it can humble us. It can help us to rely more on him. Sure, we don't go out to make mistakes, and they can be very traumatic, and it maybe for a reason. I've made plenty of mistakes developing my place, and I'm sort of stuck with it, and I'm still happy. It's just how it is. We're not perfect, and I think it helps us grow in Christ. So you just have to learn to forgive yourself and just move on. Don't dwell on it. Just move on. Try to limit the mistakes in the future.
Mm. Yeah, and really history, true history is the revelation of God working with people that have made mistake after mistake after mistake in his in their lives. You know, he chooses to keep us from making some mistakes. Justin just shared, you know, that fantastic 30-acre property, but in hindsight, it wouldn't have worked for them as a family. So he keeps us from some mistakes, but sometimes the mistakes we do make are his workmen for us to learn, for us to become the sorts of people he's really interested in building. Sometimes we've got too much confidence and we run ahead of him. And we need to make mistakes to humble us, for us to learn to be humble and to wait upon the Lord until he reveals himself. And then there's just many practical things that we do that, you know, isn't that the story of our lives, you know? We do things and we look back and say, well, that was a mistake, or I could have done that better. We shouldn't be fearful of mistakes. People that are fearful of mistakes do nothing. Go nowhere, achieve nothing. We need to just move forward, confident that God is the master of bringing good things out of bad things. And as you say, Ian, his grace is sufficient for us. Yeah, but we need to overcome our stasis, if you like, our not doing anything because of fear, and we need to move out in faith, not worrying about the mistakes, but trusting God to see us through them and teach us as we go.
Speaking of mistakes, it reminds me of there was a piece of land that I wanted to work, and I really thought that, you know, this was a perfect piece of land from my point of view, from my vision, from my perspective. And I prayed to God, I would really like to work this land. I prayed for it, and I was praying about it, but a lot of my prayers were for it. They were basically, God, this is what I would like. And that's a you can pray that. But then it turned into a little bit, I'm really cutting this story short, but it was a prayer of, God, give me that land. There was a point of, well, I have to accept that perhaps he might not want to give me that land. He might not want to give me that place. And if I had, basically, I'd put out a fleece, so to speak, a Sora, to help you just make that decision of providence and an obstacle, and say, no, I can't do this because of this obstacle anyway. So let's put that as an obstacle. And if God removes that obstacle, then we'll move forward. And if he doesn't, we'll accept his will and proceed elsewhere. And so I put a providence and it didn't go through. And I love, Rod, in your story that you just said, look, yep, it's coming to five. We haven't got it. I accept God's will. I'm going to go look for something else. And I just, when I heard that, I just loved it, because the things that we can do when we try to push or change providence, or when we bring our wanting to in a way that's, we're not surrendered, I think we can really sabotage the decision and sabotage God's leading. And then we make a mistake. Now, I say enough grace because then when I did take this land on and God eventually respected my prayer and gave me what I wanted, basically, you've asked for it. I've kind of indicated to you that I don't think you should do it, but you've asked for it again. So now I'm going to give you what your wish is. And then the answer back is you received. And so I received that land and started doing that. But the lesson in it was afterwards, when all the pain came and all the issues that I never knew, I never saw, I never anything, they all became training, one-on-one training, real fast. All right. So I could have skipped all of that. I could have skipped an incredible amount of pain. But by coming to the decision making with an open mind, with an open, surrendered mind, and saying, God, I want to accept your will. I'm not coming with a, I want this, I want that. So that's just from my experience. Like, that was the trap that I got into with that specific decision. Is that trigger any thoughts of any experiences that you guys have been in?
Oh, it seems like my life has been full of me wanting things that I want. You know, being willful about those things, you know, and maybe to my capacity, making decisions based on what I thought was common sense, you know, the evidence before me, but finding out that's not the case. That's not enough.
That's not enough. Exactly. Yeah. So there is, that is necessary, but not enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, I think it's Genesis chapter 12, you know, where Abraham was called by God, to leave his family, his country, his home, you know, et cetera. And if I remember rightly, the words are to go onto a land that I will show thee. You know, God didn't even name the place where Abraham was going to end up. You know, and mm-hmm. further down in the chapter, it says, so Abram departed. It's like, a lot of thinking could have gone in between verse one and, you know, God saying, get out of home and leave, and Abram leaving. You know, a lot of thinking could have been done in between there, and it probably was. And a lot of the thinking that probably went on there was doubts, questions, you know, worrying about this, worrying about that, you know, and whinging. You know, God didn't even say where I was going. He just said, get out. I don't know whether to turn left or right or go straight ahead when I leave Ur. I don't know, you know. Sometimes we think too much. But, you know, I'm thankful that Abram at that time took God on his promises, and he departed.
Amen. Thank you for those thoughts, gents, both of you, and bringing these ideas together. And I think that's a solid conclusion, in a sense that we have been asked, and now it's a matter of depart, make that, not to make the decision to move, because the decision of what that being right is already done. So walk out into that journey, depending and leaning on God ever more. And any closing thoughts, gents?
I think God has a place in the country for everyone. We need to wait on him. Now, God gives us a brain as well, and we need to have a plan. But there's something there that is waiting for us, and we need to just step out in faith and grab it.
Thanks for listening to the Cultivate podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you find us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our mailing list by the links below so you don't miss out. And if you have a moment, we'd love it if you could leave a review or tell a friend. See you next time.